What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning into the Producers Corner with Spud Too Tight. And man, I have a very special show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very talented music producer, composer, arranger, and music director who's already produced hits for some of the biggest names in the industry. I'm talking about Black Eyed Peas, Fergie, Cassie Davis, and the list just goes on and on and on. Please welcome music producer, songwriter, and composer, Prince Board.
What's up, y'all?
Hey, how's it going, Prince?
I'm doing well, man. Real good.
Man, good to hear that, man. Good to hear that. You know, it's from one producer to another, man, composer, man. I definitely want to take off my hat to you, dude. I mean, a lot of the tracks that I did hear from you, even from back in the day, from the Black Eyed Peas' old tracks, I'm like Bridging the Gap and so forth, man. It's been hot stuff, man. You've been bringing it consistently, man. So good job on that, dude.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, man, not a problem, Prince. You know, for a lot of people that don't know a lot about you and what you've done, I do, man, because, you know, I've been following your career for a little bit, man. Give me a little bit of background of how and when you started in the industry.
Man, well, I've had a band and been doing my thing probably since I was about 19. I started playing trumpet when I was 10, and then I kind of, you know, I was like, oh, this is pretty easy. And throughout high school and stuff, I didn't really take it seriously, but I was always in band and always, like, sitting first chair, being the best and all that. And then I got into college, and that's when I started to take it seriously. I went to San Diego State, and there it's like a composition-based program. So I went from the performance aspect to learning about the composition aspect. And then I had my band, Gravy, when I was 19, I think we started, and that just... having eight, nine people to direct and putting all the songs together and trying to feel it out, even, you know, with the MP and doing beats and all this stuff. It's like it all started to come together around that time. And so throughout my college career, I did Gravy, changed the name to Faz. We had a couple record deal offers and stuff like that. And I ended up graduating from San Diego State with my performance, jazz trumpet performance degree, and moving up to L.A., came up to L.A., hung out with these guys called Stepchild that was signed to Warner Brothers for about 6 months, and then I got into the Black Eyed Peas. And then from that point forward, it was just like a match made in heaven, more or less. You know, like me and Will got up. We started producing the records. Well, Will did the whole first album, but then after that, you know, it was like Apple getting a little bit, me getting a little bit, then the next record, me getting a little more, producing a little more, playing accordion on records live, playing trumpet, bass, keys, whatever really needed to be put down. And then to the third album where I had even more and wrote Where's the Love on that album. And to the next album, Don't Funk With My Heart, and to now, doing six songs on this record.
Man, amazing. You know, working with a group like Black Eyed Peas, man, and with your music background as a musician, you know, it sounds like you have such a diverse background musically, man, really bring it to one style for such a diverse band like Black Eyed Peas and some of the other production work that you've done. Who are some of your influences, man, that really cultivated your sound as a producer and a musician?
It ranges from singers like Sarah Vaughan to trumpet players like Tom Harrell to the Quincy Joneses to what's his name with the long beard? Rick Rubens. I'm really like really open musically. Like I'm one of those. I'm just like Neapolitan. Like I will do a country track. I will listen to country. I will listen to reggae. I'll listen to some out there space age Sun Ra sound and stuff, and just like find the beauty within stuff and put it into my music. Like I go through phases. Like I'll listen to the Grateful Dead for 3 months, and then everything's like got like sort of that undertone to it. But you know, that's where I am at that time in my life.
Right.
So my influences definitely span the globe. And I love classical, like Debussy, and I love Holst, like the planets. That stuff really influences me too, and has influenced me. And, you know, like Charlie Parker would say, learn it all and forget it. I just like put it all into my brain, and then it just comes out at different times. You know, I hear a song, I meet an artist, I feel somebody out, and I'll know what parts of those elements I want to put into them by their personality or where they're trying to go, you know?
Definitely. You know, as producers, man, I think, you know, we all try to strive for a recognizable sonic signature, is what I like to call it, that identifies us by our sound and our style musically. With all of the influence that you have, man, what really defines Prince Board as the Prince Board sound of production? I mean, what really gravitates those artists to come to you?
I think it's a lot of times people come here and they're like, we don't want the same old. We know that you have a grip on like the pop thing, but I usually do like the cooler pop songs, you know?
Right.
I usually do the ones that are a little left of center, because I'm not afraid to try something new or go to the right or left. One thing I've learned, like even through performing, is you start performing, like a lot of people start performing for the people, for the crowd, for like hoping to draw them in. You know, they're yelling like, you know, say hey, you know, let me hear you. And
right.
It's like you're pulling at the crowd. Well, when I stopped pulling at the crowd and I started just being myself on stage, the crowds actually grew stronger and bigger. And I would just say what I was thinking in my heart and in my head. And I put that into my music now, too. Like, if I'm feeling something, I'll just do it. It's like, what? This sound doesn't go with this song at all, but I like it. I'm feeling it, so I'll just do it. And then the next thing you know, it's like a worldwide craze, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
People are having, like, forums about this sound. I'll be like, you know, that sound was just funny to me. I just kind of put it in there as a joke because I felt like it.
Right.
And so that's why artists come to me, because I'm going to give them something that's left or center. And it's not, you know, it doesn't always end up being like the first single for somebody. But I don't care. I love the fact that people will leave here and be like, yo, I love that dude. We had the best time. Even if I don't get a song on somebody's record, I love that they spread the word that I'm doing real music, left the center, and I'm not really tripping on being on the charts.
Amazing. Man, congratulations again, man, to you and the Black Eyed Peas, man. You guys took, you know, quite a few Grammys home yesterday, man. And, you know, you've been doing it for a while.
Producing
great company. Yeah, man, it's just phenomenal, man. You guys are just a strong group. You have such a good foundation of music. You know, building that sound up and really making your sound stand out, as for compositions, aside from your live instrumentations, because I know you play live instruments, you know, with your trumpet background, your keyboard background, and your bass background. As far as keyboards, man, you know, are you using a combination of virtual synths, hardware synths, or are you pretty stuck on the hardware synths? Because, you know, I'm an old analog guy, too, so, you know, I really lean on a lot of my hardware gear, like my Motifs, my Tritons, and Phantoms and things, but I throw a few little virtual synths here and there on a couple of compositions. What's kind of like your tools, your go-to tools at this point?
I know we're talking about production, but I would like to throw in there about the live aspect. And live, I would not play any soft virtual synth whatsoever. I know a lot of guys are doing it now, but that's not me. Like, I want to touch the keys. I'll have 5 keyboards up there if I need to, and that's what we did the record with. In the studio, however, you know, I sit here and I look around my studio, and I've got a Juno 106, a Juno G, a VP 770. I've got my Motif. I've got a Virus and a slew of probably 10 other keyboards. And I like that. I like the touch, the feel of it. I like the different tones that each thing has. And though, you know, you use things like Massive and Expand and other programs within Pro Tools, because that's my platform of choice, you know, though those are killing it, it's still something about the hardware that gets me.
Definitely.
Even the new hardware, like I said, like a Motif, or like a Phantom. It's like they have their sounds. They have this sound. And I even like my Motif has like a little slight buzz, like right. A little grounding kind of thing. I like that.
Right.
It's like it adds a color to the stuff.
It does. I mean, I agree, man. You know, definitely I see it from, especially on the low end, you know, you get something like a saw pad, or, you know, just like a saw bass saw or something, or a Moog bass out of a hardware version of the keyboard. It's going to sound thicker and fatter to me versus, you know, something like Arturia's Mini Moog version of
exactly.
Their bass.
Yeah. But the lovely thing I would say about the virtual synths is because they are MIDI based, you can record in it and say the artist doesn't want to sing the song in A. They want it a step higher. So you can just move it up to B, no problem.
Right.
Whereas if you played it in real time and then the artist comes in and they want to change it, you're like, oh god, this is gonna be about 5 hours.
sure. Yeah, especially because, I mean, if you're going straight audio and you're recording in real time and that's audio, so yeah, you just pretty much got to replay everything.
Yeah. And that's like a problem. Right. And you know, you can take actually the MIDI out of your Pro Tools and then put it to your hardware that's out and still get that sound.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
If they want to change keys.
Right. Now, you mentioned, man, Pro Tools is your platform for your DAW system for recording editing. Did you start out in Pro Tools, or have you come from other DAW backgrounds like Cubase and Logic Pro and, you know, some of the other ones that were out there?
Well, in college, I started on, I think it was called Master Tracks.
Okay.
And that was like my first platform. And I went from that to, I did some Cubase. And then I went to something like a Live, but I forgot what it was. Like Ableton Live, but it wasn't Ableton Live.
Okay.
And then I got into Pro Tools when it was about 5.8.
And oh, sure. Okay. Was that
Mix
Plus or LE system?
LE.
Okay.
LE. Yeah, I didn't get the budget for a Mix Plus system until it was about 6.5.
Right. Now I hear you there, man.
Yeah.
You know, what's amazing, though, man, I don't know if you have any analog recording background, tracking on, you know, kind of reel-to-reel tapes and, you know, bouncing everything.
Oh, yeah. I've tracked on tape a lot, and I still do.
Really? Yeah, man. You know, I tell people, man, you know, having those techniques, those old-school techniques, man, really translate well in the DAW world to me. You know, what's nice about the DAW world, I'm able to pull mixes up a lot quicker. But, you know, it's just having that fine tooth for editing. And, you know, when I'm really down to mixing and editing, man, some of those old school techniques that I've done from the analog world just translate into the DAW were really good for me. So I'm pretty sure you can agree on that.
I definitely agree on that. Definitely. Like, I love doing, like, tracking a band with tape on the drums, old school 60-something Gretsch, you know, kick and snare, a Black Beauty or something, and just putting it down the tape. I love that. Or
definitely.
Doing a whole string orchestra thing down the tape. I love it.
Nice. You know, so what's your typical signal change for, like, your keys, your bass, your vocals? I mean, what kind of pre's and mics and compressors are you using? Are you using hardware gear or vintage gear, or are you using some of the plugins that are available nowadays?
You know what? Most of my stuff, I just rock it pretty dry. I'll use a U87 Neumann, and I'll go into an Avalon and, like, leave it flat. I pretty much don't change it. I record it at a low enough level to, you know, not get distortion or anything, to, like, so the color of the sound doesn't change. But
right.
I've pretty I keep it pretty straight. And even when I go into a studio or a session with an artist, you know, I may change the mic for their, for them personally, like their sound. I might do a Telefunken, or I might do a 67 or a 47 if I think they're a little bit too pretty, or the song needs like a little bit more grit.
Sure.
But I usually just kick it dry, and I do all my stuff without too many tricks. So then if I send it, like, say, to Dylan Dresdo, who does most of our mixing, or Dave Pensado, who does, like, a lot of my side projects, they can have a nice ground bass to build from and make it sound even better. When it leaves here flat with no extras, it sounds great.
Definitely.
And I love that.
You know,
I love that.
Well, you know, a lot of it, too, I think Avalon, man, they make such great pre's. And, you know, you can really have a clean signal without a lot of color, and you can really pound the heck out of it and, you know, really get the levels bouncing and get that nice harmonic distortion out of it. I've used the 737, the Avalon 737 with the built-in compressor, the EQ.
Yeah,
and
that's exactly what
it is. Oh, man, it's such a great pre, man, for vocals and things. I haven't tried it on any live instrumentation like bass or drums. Or anything, but mainly just on vocals, man. It's just been a great pre all overall.
It's great. And even if you like run, so a lot of times I run my MP drums through there, you know, like record it in Pro Tools and then just run it back out through the Avalon and back in, and it's like killing.
Nice. Yeah, I believe it, man. Especially with that compressor. Yeah. It's pretty aggressive.
Yeah. I love it.
You know, now, on the live side, Prince, I want to lean to the live side a little bit, you know, because you and I both have live experience. Man, I've been playing 17 years music director for my church, man, as a main musician, keyboardist. Where do you feel you find that zone for really capturing your style creatively, man? Is it in a structured environment like the studio environment, or do you feel you get that zone and that energy from being on stage off the band members and the fans and the crowd?
If you asked me that same question 4 years ago, I probably would answer it differently. But my answer now is in the studio.
Okay.
Because as I was saying earlier, I just do whatever my heart says now. If I feel like doing it, I do it. I'm not thinking, if this was an Akon song, I would do it like, I'm not thinking that. I'm just doing what I feel like doing. But it's Black Eyed Peas as a whole, now it's gotten to a point where we can't be as free with everything as we were. Our sound has changed. Our dynamic has changed. We are all in in-ears now. The band is 50 feet back from the front of stage as opposed to, you know, us being right there and Fergie jumping up on the drum riser and rocking out.
Sure.
You know, that doesn't happen anymore. It's totally different. So, like, the ability to kind of play with it and experiment and do something different every night is not as abundant as it was before in the live setting. So I would say in the studio, I'm free. Live, I'm a little bit cuffed.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you know, for me, I love being in studio from the creative side. I love being creative on stage, too, because, you know, when you're rocking with the band members, you know, you're just feeding off each other's energy, different than on chord progressions and different arrangements and kind of improvising on stage as we're going, which is cool. But, you know, having that center focus in the lab, in the studio, where I can really focus in on the artist and really build my sound up from the ground up on the artist, whoever I'm working with, you know, gives me that, like you say, flexibility and leisure of creativity where I don't feel like I'm in a box or a setting, an environment that I have to cater to. No, I definitely agree with you there.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I know you started your own production company, man. Give me a little background and, you know, the mission statement behind that. I mean, are you dealing with a team of writers and other producers and artists, or is this kind of like a one-man band at this point?
Well, my production company, the reason I started it was because I have so many different angles and facets to me as a person. So, my corporation, I started it for that reason. I have a clothing line. I have a restaurant I'm part of, a club, I'm in a alcohol company that I'm with. I have storage units. I have all these like different things like as an entrepreneur. So I started my company to house that, the corporation, to be able to house that with different divisions. And then my production company being one of those divisions. Now, under that, I wanted to get my, like, film scoring angle happening, my rock angle happening, hip-hop angle, and just different styles, different angles of the music business. I also wanted to sign writers and producers that can take the gigs when I'm out of town. You know, I hate when I get a call and, you know, somebody's like, oh, Beyonce's in town for 3 days. What do you got? Can I put her in with you? And I'm like, oh, well, I'm actually in Tokyo. So, no. Right. But now, I've got producers that I trust, like Sleep Bees, that I can put him in the room with them. And I can say, okay, go in there with, like my writer Tex, Mario James, or go in there with Lyrica, or go in there with Nicola Bedingfield, Natasha's sister. You know, all of which are with me and under Beats and Produce. So that the name doesn't stop, the flow doesn't stop, and it's like business as usual, whether I'm here or not.
Nice. Sounds well managed, man.
I was going to say just one more thing to that, you know, and with the scoring division, too, I have, like, Tim Izzo, who's actually in the band as well, that scores. And he's got, like, a darker, more, like, kind of weird avant-garde way of approaching scoring. So that's something I don't do, but now Beats and Produce can handle that because nice. He's a part of it.
Amazing. Yeah. That's the way to run shop, man. You know, so Prince, talk a little bit to me about music director. Man, I know you're serving as music director for the Black Eyed Peas, man. What are some of your responsibilities you do on tour, in studio, preparation just for the whole concert?
Well, I have to put the set list together. It's kind of a lot.
Sure.
I have to put the set list together, obviously, and that's like the ground base. And I have to do that in conjunction with our show director, Fatima Robinson, because she has dancers that have to be choreographed to these songs, right?
Right.
And then I also have to make sure that our wardrobe person is in line with that, because they have to make sure that everyone's outfits are set up the right way, that it doesn't take too long to change from one to the other. And then I, in turn, have to make sure that there's, like, enough segue time for them to change between these songs that I've chosen for the set list. And then I have to make sure that our playback tracks are in order, because we do use playback on some things just to make the vocals stronger, or add a string orchestra or something behind us.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to make sure that's on point. And, oh, and then on a side note, we use DP, Digital Performer, for that.
Mo too. Okay.
Because I think it's more reliable than Pro Tools when it comes to that stuff.
Are you running Mac or PC?
Mac.
Okay.
Mac. So what else I have to do is that I have to coordinate with the lighting department and the laser department, and also with the production manager, so he can tell all the people that do the moving stuff around the stage that the set is like this. This is the vibe. This is the color of the wardrobe. You know, I don't know if those lasers go with the color. I don't know if the lights, you know, I want you to go black here because we're going to stop the music. I'm going to play something really low and mellow. And then, you know, here we're going to do these stabs, so hit these stabs with us. And at the same time, while all that's going, I have to have a TV that I can see everything on the stage, just like the crowd can. And then I have to have a TV that can show me backstage, and I can see when people are ready. And then I also have to have another microphone two other microphones, one where I talk directly to the monitor engineer and my playback guy in case something happens. Will says, let's not do that song today. I have to cue them, and then they in turn cue the lighting, the lasers, the production manager, and the dancers, and the clothing.
Wow.
And then my second mic goes directly to the musicians, so I can tell them, like, if we wanted to do something on the fly, like, I'll break here, or I'll say, you know, to our drummer, yo, we need to extend this part a little bit longer, and then start the song or something.
Wow.
So these are, like, all the duties. And then say, hypothetically, for a TV show, I have to make sure that everyone knows the form of the song. I have to make sure I email it. I have to make sure Fergie knows, okay, this is how it goes, this is how it stops. If there's a foul, like if somebody says a bad word, then I need to remind them, like, okay, we're on TV, so we can't say that word, and I have to make sure I say it right before we go on stage.
Right.
So those are pretty much all the musical director duties.
Wow. It's one title, man.
Yeah, right?
So, Prince, man, what do you have on plate, man? What do you got for 2010? What's on the agenda musically, man?
For 2010, I am planning to take over the universe. Not the world. This is just a small part of it.
Okay.
but I really am focused on doing full chunks of projects. So, like my really good, amazing, wonderful friend, Natasha Bedingfield, we've done 10 to 12 songs, and who knows how many of those will make it on the album, but I just like to sit and just hang with somebody for a minute and just feel them out. If I have to do the one dares, I will. You know, sometimes you have to do that, but I'm looking to, in 2010, just be able to, like, lock up at least 2-3 songs on people's album, just to get a consistent vibe. I'm loving working with Curly, K-E-R-L-I, Curly. She's probably, her and Natasha are, like, definitely two of my favorite people on the planet. And I love their music.
Now, is this R&B or is this more on the pop end?
Oh, this is, well, Natasha's kind of in a gray area between R&B, pop, funk.
Okay.
But Curly is on the more pop, Bjork-y side of things.
Okay.
And then I'm also doing things like I'm doing Kobe O'Donis, I'm doing Kiki Palmer, I'm doing T. Lopez, which is a little more urban, Latin. I'm doing a slew of people, and I don't even have my calendar up, so I can't even say, but...
No, man, that's cool, man. The plate's full.
There's a lot of stuff now. Yeah. Oh, you know who I'm really excited about, too, is Free Soul. They're a group that Justin signed, Justin Timberlake. And, yeah, we smashed a couple songs.
Wow, what's the name of the group again? I'm sorry.
Free Soul.
Okay.
F-R-E-E-S-O-L. Free Soul.
Free Soul. Nice.
Loving those guys.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you're busier than ever.
Yeah. I'm definitely busier than ever. But I'm talking about certain projects that were coming out this year for sure.
Nice. Well, Prince, man, I don't want to take up any more of your time, man. It's been a pleasure chopping it up with you, man. You definitely got a spot here at the Producers Corner, man. Come back anytime. I'd love to talk to you again, man, about your new endeavors.
That is what's up. Thank you for that. I appreciate it so much, wholeheartedly.
Oh, no, man. Pleasure's all mine, man. Appreciate it.
Word.
And good luck on that tour, man. And let's stay in touch.
All right. Thank you, man.
talk to you later, dude. Thanks.
All right. Peace.
Bye. And a big shout out to Prince Borb for coming on to Producer's Corner and chopping it up with me, man. You know, it was always a pleasure for me, you know, speaking with, you know, like I always say, man, musicians with such a diverse background in the music industry. I mean, he's also a producer, songwriter, composer. But on the other side of it, man, because of his live playing ability and as a musician, he's also the music director for the Black Eyed Peas, man, who's doing a tremendous job of displaying hit after hit consistently. And, you know, he talked about the different avenues and the different responsibilities that he carries, you know, having that title as a music director, you know, on tour, working with the lighting, the choreographers, man, making sure the music's tight, the mix, you know, just the overall. And, you know, it's just nice having that ability to fall back on. You say, man, you know, I'm not going to produce right now. I want to fall back and really start directing a lot of these bands, up-and-coming bands, and some of the seasoned musician bands that are out there. And, you know, I just feel that, you know, speaking with him, I mean, he's really passionate about the music, man. That's really what's important to me, being a fan of other producers and talking to him, man, and still hearing that passion and drive of being the best they can be as a producer, writer, songwriter, and, you know, also giving that artist development with the new artists that they're working with. You know, Prince Board, man, he has a really interesting website. You really need to check it out. And it's www.beats, and that's spelled B as in boy, E-E-T-S, and produce, beatsandproduce.com. And, you know, it has a little bit more description of what he's doing, some of the bands that he's working with, upcoming projects. And, you know, I just think, you know, to get more information on it, really check out what he's doing. And there's a couple of sample clips of audio in his jukebox that is really hot also. And again, that's www.beats, B as in boy, E-E-T-S, and produce.com. And that's www.beatsandproduce.com. And I also have a website as well if you want to listen to my past interviews, my current interviews, and that can be listened at www.spud2tightmusic.ning.com. And that's www.spud2tightmusic.ning.com. And for my email address, that's spud2tight@gmail.com. And you can hit me up for questions and suggestions, and I'll hit you back, man, and respond to them as well. And I want to thank you guys for joining and listening in. And tune in next time. And I got some hot upcoming interviews, man, that you don't want to miss. Until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.